Okay, guys. So, as Max said, we're gonna do this. The sources are going around. We're gonna dedicate this year, Lili Nishmat, the 11 people who were killed in Pittsburgh. Yeah. But as Max noted, look, it really is dangerous. It is always dangerous to reduce tragedies like this to numbers. A lot of studies have been done on this. We're human beings. We're much better at empathizing with a single person and their story than we are with numbers, because once it's too many people, our empathy isn't triggered. Individual stories is much easier. He talked about one person, about Dr. Rabinowitz. Each person there has stories, and in general, it is worthwhile to remember each person individually. And we could go through each of the 11 people and tell their stories. I spent a little bit of time today reading about another of the people who was killed, Joyce Feinberg, who was originally a Torontonian, and therefore I know her brother very well, who came to Mnei Mashirim, and her nephew, and her niece, who I know very, very well from my time in YU. Every one of the people who was killed, has a story, was a world unto themselves. So we're going to dedicate this year Le'ilui Nishmatam. Okay, so Shimon, who is responsible for actually getting all of this done, because Roy Ginsburg decided to put him in charge, and he did.
Thank you, Shimon.
So Shimon originally asked me, and he said, "Can you give a shiur on anti-Semitism or something like that?" And I said, I told him no. I refuse to give shiur on anti-Semitism because I think shiur on anti-Semitism end up being one of two things. Either it's given by a historian, in which case it's a good lecture, or it's given by a rabbi, in which case it tends to become a rant. Yeah. Was probably the word that I used. Of sorts, and usually it just comes down to them, too often throwing around Esav Sonei et Yaakov and Halacha Biyadua Esav Sonei et Yaakov. Everybody knows that Esav hates Yaakov. Anti-Semitism is the way of the world, and that's all there is to it. But then I thought about it a bit more, and I realized the reason I don't want to give share on that primarily is because I was scared of giving share on that, because I get very uncomfortable when people do that. But which led me to actually say, you know what? Okay, let me try to look into the sugya, and try to see what perspectives actually emerge. And the truth is, I didn't have to look very far, because most of the sources that I'm quoting today came from the Halakha Wikipedia, because somebody apparently was bothered by this also and put all the sources in Wikipedia. It was clearly Shua. Shua is an expert in this, so he didn't tell anybody. He was the anonymous editor. Shkoyach Shua, thank you.
I try to stay humble, but thank you.
We do our best. The advantage also, obviously, is that being Parshas Toldos, it is also from the Parsha. And therefore, it makes sense. It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
a coincidence. There are no coincidences in life. Oh, God.
Except for the ones that are.
Exactly. Except for those. I'll give you an excellent mathematics book on that later. On the probability of miracles and coincidences, it's a very good book. Okay. But let's start. Where do people get this notion, right? This statement, right? As if anti-Semitism is built into the fabric of the world, right? Where does it come from? So it comes from a particular perspective on Chumash, okay? So let's go through the sources. The first source here is from this week's Parsha. So where does the hatred start? Where does the hatred between Yaakov and Esav start?
In the womb.
Okay, so midrashically in the womb.
No.
In Pshat, where does it start?
Once he grabs
the
Bechor. Right, the Bechor.
It said in Rashi that they were fighting.
I just said, in the Midrash. Right, Rashi is quoting a midrash. Yes,
the lashon that it uses though when they were in the womb
is Vayitro Tetu.
Right.
Yeah, what does Vayitro Tetu mean? Have you ever known someone who was pregnant with twins?
Yes,
I have. My sister just gave birth to twins. The children were Vayitro Tetu. right? She was constantly in pain. She was constantly uncomfortable. She was on bed rest because she's 4'10" and she had twins in her stomach, right? Right. So as the Rashbam notes, Vayitrot Tzitzu means you got one baby makes you uncomfortable. Two babies make you grossly uncomfortable, right? Some are more active. I don't, whatever it was. Okay? It doesn't mean they were vying with each other. Now, we'll get to Rashi. We're going to get to Rashi. Don't worry, Abby. We're going to get to Rashi. But in Pshat, right, it starts with a little bit of the stealing of the Bechor. But really, 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 it happens when?
When he tricks
Yitzchak. When he tricks Yitzchak and steals the Bracha. Right? And that's what you get in number one. Right? Number one, this is the end of this week's parasha. It says, Vayistom Esav Ed Yaakov al habracha asher berecho aviv. I put most of it in English, so you guys, even if you're sort of zoning out, right? It starts in source one. Towards the end, it's not in English, but at the beginning, it is to help you. Okay.
Not all the sources confused.
It's just upside down. I don't know how the printer did it. It's not. Yes. Exactly. So Esav, right, if you look at the English here, he harbored a grudge against Yaakov because of the blessing which his father had given him. And Esav said to himself, "Let by the mourning period of my father come, and I will kill my brother Jacob." I'll kill Yaakov. Vayugad l'Rivka d'vrei Esav b'na gadol. Right, it was told to Rivka what her older son was saying. Vatishlach v'tikra l'Yaakov b'na katan. Vatomer elav hine Esav achicha minachem l'cha l'argecha. So she calls Yaakov and says, "Your brother wants to kill you." Vata vini shma bekoli vikum brachlecha el lavan achi charana. Listen, I got advice. Get out of here. Run away. Go to Haran, to my brother. You'll be okay there. V'yashavta imo yamim achadim arasher tashuv chamar achicha. And you will stay there until your brother's rage subsides, his fury subsides. Ashuv adav chicha mimcha v'shachar asher asita lo v'shalachti v'lakachti misham lama shkal gam shneichem yom echad. Right, go. I don't want to lose both of you in one day. Right, whatever exactly that means. I'll call you when it's safe. When does she call him?
Never.
It is never safe. Right, it's never safe. Right? He returns.
She went to the coffee.
He returns when? He returns when? When does he come back? When God tells him to come back, but Rivka never tells him to come back. Right? Esav. Because it's never safe. Right? And hence, in number two, Rivka doesn't tell him to come back. Instead, he's on his way back. Vayisa Yaakov eina vayar vine Esav ba vimo arba meot ish vayachat ed yaladim layav arachal vashtei shvachot. He looks up and Esav is coming with 400 men and he divides the children between Rachel, Leah, the shvachot. Okay, and here what?
He divided into four camps. He divided
into two camps, right? Not different camps for each. Or however exactly he divided it. No, it's not just two. It sounds like it's three. It's three divisions. However it is. Right? Meaning earlier it was two. Right? Meaning at night it was two, but then when he's actually coming, right, he divides in like... Okay. And now we're expecting an explosion, and what happens? He bows seven times. He falls on his neck and he cries, hugs him, he cries, and he kisses him. And then over the word Vayishakeu, there's a bunch of dots. Right?
Then he
searched
for money.
Okay. So now you all know the Midrash. Right? Now that's Lavan. It's a different Midrash. But you all know the Midrash. That at this point, what happens? Right? So the Midrash says, what happened there? Right? Here is Esav, who hates Yaakov, who wants to kill him, who, if I would add, it's still not safe, Rivka never called him back. And Pitaom, he comes, he sees Esav with his army, and Esav breaks down crying, gives him a hug, gives him a kiss, and the Midrash says, what happened? No, that's the wrong Midrash. He just said it's the wrong Midrash. That's Lavan. That's Lavan. No, that's the Midrash of when Lavan kisses him, he's looking for gold.
Yes.
So the Midrash brings two positions. The Midrash in number 3 in Breshit Rabbah says, Vayaretz Esav Likartov Yishakehu. Nakud alav. There are dots over the word Vayishakehu. Why are there dots? What is the word? What do dots do in the Midrash? They don't invert. They don't invert.
Oh, they say Midrash is a dots
and
not
right. No. No. In the ancient world, what were dots over word? Please sit down. Please sit down. Not you. Sit. You. No, take your seat. Sit. Find a seat. Sit. Take suit. Take food. There's no more sushi. Take food. Okay. So he says what? So dots in the dots in the ancient world. This is how you'll understand what Chazal are doing. Dots in the ancient world. What? No, they mean erase because they didn't have erasers. So the way they erase things was they put dots on top of it. So when Chazal darshan dots, what they're saying is that it's there and it's not there. Right? That's what drives it. Right? You just need to know a little of ancient history to know that. So nakuda lav. So why is that true? So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. B'chol makom she'ata motzei haktav rabal ha'nikuda ta doreshet haktav ha'nikuda rabal haktav ata doreshet ha'nikuda. Right, whenever you have dots, if the there's more without dots, so then you darshan the written, and if there's more dots, then you darshan the written. Kan lo katav rabal ha'nikuda ha'nikuda rabal haktav. Right, here it's equal. So ela milamed shenichmeru rachama boto sha'a nishakob b'cholibo. The first position is
he kissed him with all his heart.
He loved him at that moment. Right, he may not have liked him in general, but at that moment he loved him. He kissed him. He was his brother, and brotherly love. Okay, guys, please just sit down. This is driving me nuts. I can't have the people back and forth. Really, just like sit. Just sit down.
You better sit here.
I understand, but just okay. Right. So, what is he? This room, it just doesn't lend itself. It's like,
I know.
Yeah. So he says what? So the first position is he really loved him at that moment. The second position is Amar Lo Rabbi Yanai, Im Kein Lama Nakud Alav. Then why does it have dots on it? Al Malayit Shelo Ba Linashko Elan Linashko. He said he didn't come to kiss him; he came to bite it. But now Sutz Avrosh Avinu Yaakov Shel Shaiish Vekoshi Nav Shel Oto Rasha. Right, his neck was made into marble, and therefore his teeth broke. So he was crying about his teeth. He was crying about his neck.
Or
would
he be crying about his neck if
he turned
into marble?
That hurts.
That hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he was crying.
Okay. Now here's the problem. Okay. On this pasuk, Rashi writes, "Vayishakehu, nakud alav, v'yesh chalkun b'davar hazeh b'brayta disivrei, yesh darshu nikudah zo shelo nishakob b'chol libo." Right, some say that he didn't kiss him fully, and Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, halacha hu biyadua she'Esav sonei le'Yaakov. It is a halacha. It is known. But Esav hates Yaakov. And there Shimon bar Yochai says, even though it's true, this was the one exception to the rule, right? He kissed him. Now the way Rashi quotes the Midrash is, right, what do both people agree to? That in general? Now, but Rashi says something different. He says not Esav sonet Yaakov. What does he say? Halachahu biyadua. Esav sonet Yaakov. Right, it is known. It is a halacha, so to speak. Right? That Esav hates Yaakov. And from here, people, right, and this is why I don't like giving this shir, right? People say, "Ay, you see, anti-Semitism is built into the Bria. It's just the way it is." Right? And they take this Rashi and they say it's a halacha. If your neighbor seems like they're nice, they're faking it. And then they expand it and they say Esav doesn't just mean Esav. Esav means all non-Jews, even ones who are clearly not from Esav. It doesn't matter, right? Here's the problem, okay? The problem is the Midrash does not exist, right? It does not exist.
What?
The Midrash doesn't exist.
Which Midrash?
That key line, Halacha hi biyadua, right? Is not there. What is there? So I didn't give you the Sifrei, but I gave you the Yismach Moshe, right? The Yismach Moshe in Achron, who notes that it is a typo in our Rashi's, right? It is a typo, and he writes, "What is the, what does it say?"
It is.
So just look at the last line. He says, "Uladati taut sofer nafal b'svarei memashakadav alacha biyadua v'tzarich lomar." Halohu biyadua, right? Halohu biyadua, right? What does halo mean? Isn't it the case, right? Now, Eliav Shuchman wrote a whole article on this, and he points out all the good gersot that we have, all the good gersot of the midrash that we have, do not have halacha hi biyadua, have halo biyadua. She'esav shoned Yaakov. What is the difference between saying halacha hi biyadua she'esav shoned Yaakov and halo hi yidua?
One is saying like it's halacha.
One saying yes.
One saying
no.
One saying no. No. One saying.
One is saying it's true. What does halacha mean? It's true for
everyone.
For everyone. For always. And what does halo mean?
Say so.
It just what? Yeah, it's how could it be that Yaakov, that Esav kissed Yaakov? Halo biyadua, Esav son of Yaakov. We know, right? There's no rule. It's not universal. It's a local parshanut.
Don't
right? 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 Meaning, it's not a rule about the nature of the world. It's a story. And if you look in Breishit Rabbah, right? In Breishit Rabbah, it's clear. Is this Midrash saying anything about Jewish non-Jewish relationships?
No.
Absolutely nothing. It's saying locally. How could it be that Esav suddenly kissed Yaakov? We know he hates him. And the answer either is, he tried to bite him, or brotherly love welled up in him and he liked him for that moment. Right? But whichever way you take it, what is the thrust of the Midrash? Right? Or what is it not?
Not at all.
It's not a statement. Right? Now, once I saw that, I said, okay, now I have something to work with. Because, despite that, so much of rabbinic polemic on this topic has been built on use and expansion of Rashi's, the girsa we have in Rashi, of halacha hi biyadua. It is a halacha. Right? I was talking to Durai Sklar before, and he said, when he was a kid, he said, he remembers this, when he was 10 years old, his Rebbe said, halacha hi biyadua she'esav shoned Yaakov, and therefore if your neighbor seems nice, they are lying. And he said that was the moment when he discovered something very important, which was?
Rabbis lie.
Rabbis can be wrong. Rabbis can be wrong. Right? They may also lie, but he said at that moment, I don't know when he realized rabbis could lie, at that moment he realized rabbis could be wrong, right? Because he said it didn't accord with his experience. He just didn't, and he didn't believe it, right? He just didn't believe it. Okay? So what I put for you in the rest here... What? So I want to explore this just a little bit, okay? Of how it comes out. Now, I gave you, before we get into sort of the way this appears in rabbinic, you know, in like Tshuvot and modern literature, I gave you a little bit more on just the psukim and how to understand it. So I gave you, for example, the Ralbag in number 6. The Ralbag says, Nakud al v'ishakeu, lo roch eni shakadu b'lif shalem, aval haya inyana mimutsa bena nishika o bena adera nishika. He said, in pshat, right, there are other possibilities, right? I mean, the Midrash raises two. One is that he totally loved him in that moment, and one is that he totally hated him at that moment, and he was trying to bite his neck off, right? He said, pshat is probably somewhere in the middle, right?
He loved him
right?
before he wanted
no, to. No, it's not complicated. He said, it was complicated.
He was
it was complicated.
Was
complicated. No, it's complicated.
Brother,
no, it's like complicated. That's what it was, right? They're all Bach says. Complicated. It's complicated, yes. You should all know this, right? I understand Facebook is not cool anymore. Facebook is for old people. I understand, right? Now it's all Instagram. I get it. It's all Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter, Rahman al-Islam, and whatever, right? Whatever it is, I get it. What?
Sorry.
What? Reddit?
What?
You mean
Instagram? What did he say?
Snapchat.
Is it LinkedIn? Is he Snapchat?
LinkedIn. Rahman al-Islam. That's mamish old. It's mamish old. That's old even for me, right? Like, Facebook came out, like, when I was in high school, I remember them opening Facebook to high schoolers. Whoa. That is the big deal.
From college kids or from everyone?
From college kids. It was first college, then high school, and then adults. Right? I remember that.
Wow.
That was it was a big day. Who knew? Who knew? I feel very special. I feel very special.
Screwed over his friends.
Thank you.
I've
also seen the movie.
Good story, Shimon.
Okay. Anyways, but that's really not the point. The point is, Facebook has a very clever relationship status thing called It's Complicated. Right? And they're all boxes. The Midrash is saying it's black or white. Either he hated him, or at that moment, he totally loved him. Right? And they're all boxes. There's another possibility, which is, it's complicated. He loved him, he hated him, he missed him, he was angry at him. Right? I don't know if you've ever seen siblings fight.
Yes.
But sibling relationships tend to be complicated. No. Everyone's here like, no, I have a great relationship with my siblings, or I hate my siblings. There's just nothing in between. Right? There's nothing in between. Okay? Someone here must have a complicated relationship with your siblings.
Yeah,
somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
At the end of the day, you still love
them. Sweez mode.
At the end of the day, you still love
them. Like, I love them.
What?
At the end of the day, you still
And that's what the real book is saying. It was complicated. He loved him. He hated him. He loved him. He hated him.
Right.
Fine. That's the nature of Okay.
And then you could say it's Shalach that Esau and Yaakov, in the sense that people have complicated relationships.
Right. Now you could say that. Right. Now. Okay. I'm going to hold off on the Hamak Dover for a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
No. You know what? Let me read the Hamak Dover. The Hamak Dover adds a fourth model. Right. So there's two models so far. Right. Of what's going in that pasuk. Either he hated him. Right? He loved him at that moment. It's complicated. Or, the McDover says as follows, V'yifkush ne'em b'chu, b'ala l'meid, sh'gam Yaakov n'dara alav l'sha'azu ha'ava l'esav. Yaakov also loved Esav at that moment. V'chein l'dorot, b'sha'ash sh'zer Esav m'torim b'ruach t'ara l'akir zer Yisrael, u'ma'alatam, az gam anachnu m'torim l'akir d'esav, k'achinu hu. K'mo sh'p, Rebbe Ayahu hev, amiti, l'antininus v'chein arbei. Right, the Hamak Dover, the Netziv says, the truth is, it's not just that at that moment he loved him. And it's not a one-time thing. Right? He said, even if you want to take the halacha biyadua approach, it's not really a halacha biyadua. He said, there are times in history that actually break the rules. Right? Because, as we all know this, when you go out of your way, right, to try to improve a relationship, often it will be reciprocated. Be'emet. Right? Be'emet, it will be reciprocated. And therefore, the Nitziv provides a fourth model. Right? Model one is they really... Oh, right? Esav and... Well, let's do it two ways, right? Let's start with Yaakov and Esav. Model one is they always hate each other, except maybe once in history. Right? Model two is there are moments... Right? There was never a moment of love. They really always hated each other. Right?
That's Rashi's view.
But Rashi has both possibilities. Right? Either he was trying to bite his neck, right from the Midrash, which means he always hated him, or he always hated him except at that moment. But really, he always hates him. That's model one and two. Right? Okay. Either he always hated him, or he hated him minus one moment. Right?
Okay.
Model three is the Hamak Dover, which is, no, there's such a thing called a complicated relationship.
They're all
bog. And then it's Siv is a fourth relationship, which to say, even if you think halacha hi biyadua, that Esav always hates Yaakov, and you take that in the broadest metaphorical sense... Just like there was a moment in the story at which Yaakov and Esav resolved their fight and actually loved each other, there can be other moments in history like that. And therefore, it may be a general rule that we've suffered a lot, that may be true, but that doesn't mean you have to deny the possibility that there are good moments. Okay, so that I think is four models, even the Yaakov and Esav story. Right, but it also historically gives us a few models. Right, one is to say they always hate us. If you want to expand it, right, assuming you want to expand it, right, so you could still not come to the radical conclusion they always hate us, right? Because one could be they always hated each other then, meaning the people, and now all non-Jews hate us because we expand it as widely as we possibly can. But you could also take an insular approach and say, look, if it happened once, it could happen again, and they're right. You could also say there is no such rule, right? As Shulchan points out, Yismach Moshe points out, which is there is no such rule that Esav son is Yaakov. The person Esav hated Yaakov, right? That doesn't mean that you have to assume that forever. There is good reason to believe that we should not take the approach that all non-Jews always hate us.
Well, also,
why? Please tell me why you should not take the approach that we should always just assume that they hate us.
Because there are those that don't.
That's a good Matthias argument. Give me an even better argument than Matthias.
It wouldn't be beneficial for us to think that.
It's a pasuk, right? That we have to love Esav, right? More than we do other nations, right? Lo te'ev adomi ki achichahu.
Keep your friends
right?
closer.
Don't hate. No, don't hate him because he is your right. Because he is your brother, right? Meaning the Torah. No, Amalek comes from Esav. It doesn't go the other way around.
He says himself.
What?
So we shall love his nation that he created.
Lo titaev adomi. Don't hate them.
But they become Amalek. Then we have Amalek.
No, they don't become Amalek. I just said they don't.
You said Amalek comes from Esav.
Yes, he's one descendant of Esav, right? But Edom, right? So there's good reason to say that we shouldn't take the most radical read because the Torah itself says avoid, right? With Edom proper, right? Now, historically, many people took the most extreme read of this, which is halacha hi biyadu sheisav son is Yaakov, and B, they took the most extreme read, which was they went, okay, Esav means Edom, Edom means Christianity, and once we throw in Christianity, it's gamchu on the entire gamsa oilam, right? Right? They all hate us always, 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 always. What?
It's a little intense.
I agree with you, and that's why I didn't want to give shear on this, because it drives me nuts. But, listen, there were major, and like I said, the reason I want to talk about this, right, I didn't want to talk about this, is because the people who say these things are not nobodies, right? People who say these are major postgame. There are consequences to saying this. So, Lidugma, I gave you the Tzitz Eliezer, number 9. The Tzitz Eliezer was asked, halachically, imutar lenagen k'tae tfila uvakashot b'nigune agavim. Okay, can you say daven? Can you daven to the tune of what's nigune agavim?
Jingle bells.
That's a good guess.
That's a pretty good guess.
What? So it usually means more
gospels.
What? It often has preacher's connotations, right? What?
So like rap.
Like romantic songs, but
rap.
And this is what he says, okay?
Romantic.
And he says that this disease, right? Right? This disease is everywhere, right?
Yeah, I know, it really is.
Non-Jewish music is everywhere.
Yeah, it really doesn't connect you to God.
You
know?
I
think
of
a
dominating
to the tune.
I just call
it shh. I don't understand. Do people just assume that I like go with the yeshivish party line? I don't understand. I am not.
Hey,
people have asked me, am I yeshivish?
No.
I'm like, I have literally never.
Who asked you if you're yeshivish?
People,
you
like, just
probably.
Yeah, you're probably you. Yes, you. Second of all, you.
Anyone in the entire yeshiva would have asked that question. Literally anyone.
And Donnie, wherever Donnie is. Where's Donnie? And Donnie asked me. I don't know where he went.
Right.
No, I'm not. But also, no. Did you ask me? You asked me if I went to a yeshivish phase, right? The answer is no.
Yes,
I really never did.
Wait,
with all due respect, like really, I really mean this. With all due respect to the yeshivish community, and I really do a lot of respect to the yeshivish community, I never went to yeshivish school in my life.
I did.
Right? I never, right? The closest I ever did was I went to Dura Golding, which is like sort of yeshivish for camp. Right?
Where's your white shirt?
Right? Like I said, that's the closest. What?
You go to lunch school.
I went to JFS. I went to a co-ed school, which is only 50% from when I was there. Then I went to Rambam, which is not yeshivish, right? And then I went to Gush, which is not yeshivish. Then I went to YU and stuck around in the Gush Chevra, which isn't yeshivish, right? And now I'm here, right? Well, then I went to Toronto, and it wasn't, you know, what? Mamish.
Which is not yeshivish.
So, like, I understand that it's, like, popular to say that, like, to be down on Jewish, non-Jewish music by definition in certain parts of the community. And I do understand why. I do get it. But, like, that's just not my reality. Like, it's just not something... It's just not my reality, right?
Yeah, because Jewish music...
I didn't say that Britney Spears was all Tyrus HaKodesh. That was not what I just said, right? Do not misconstrue what I said.
Jewish music is more usher than non-Jewish music?
If you poskin like a Moshe Feinstein, then yes, right?
What?
But no one does.
Oh,
yes, if you
poskin like a Moshe Feinstein, plenty of people poskin.
No one poskin like that, Chuba. You can't sing Tukim. Can we get over this?
Hey, no,
Gersley.
No one, you mean I'm
Gersley. Gersley. I understand. Gersley, it's a self-serving sock. You want to hold that so you don't have to sing. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you that out. I'm going to tell you. That you can't.
It's straight up the Nager's Moshe. Why can't I hold like the Nager's Moshe?
This is all I'm recording.
Baruch Hashem. Anyways, point is, look. Again, I'm not like. I just like, I don't know why you assume that, like, in the yeshiva, this is one of those things between the yeshivish community and the modern Orthodox community that is like a big deal, right? I don't know why this is like a big deal, but music is music, right? It's like,
is
do you think that like there's something fundamentally wrong about music which isn't Jewish, right? But like, you've got to understand, this is not my world, right? Like, it just isn't, right? Like, it's just not, right? Again, I have a lot of respect for it, but it's like, it's just not something that's like, nitpas. It's probably something which is not nitpas. Like, you know, like in the Gush interviews, like, right, Tarragon will routinely just try to figure out what people are listening to and then explain why he likes, I think, Billy Joel. Okay? And okay.
That's hilarious. That's what Rabbi Ginsburg did to me in my interview. He said, the first thing he said to me, I got all 220 LPs of Rush.
No, he said that to me too. No,
EPs or whatever.
So,
he knows everything.
Listen, guys, I know this is shocking to you, but when I give interviews or I have conversations, it literally never goes that way because I know nothing about this stuff. I just don't know it.
Wait,
I mean,
what?
How do you know something
about
something?
About music? No, not really.
Talk about halacha.
I could tell you like technicalities of what defines all the major music periods. But like, I don't care so much.
And who wrote which song when?
No idea.
Which rabbi?
Which rabbi says something about Billy Joel?
Which rabbi wrote which song?
Which
is that one of the
Rishi? That's good.
He's not a Rishi.
Okay. Anyways. Okay, guys. So the Tzitzit Eliezer was asked this question. Okay, about romance songs. Now, the Tzitzit Eliezer was very not happy about it. Who is it, Tzitzit Eliezer, by the way, Shua?
Oh, man. Really good rabbi.
Good
rabbi.
Oh,
good answer.
Me, you're so great. You forgot his name.
He did write Famous Jews Abortion. Very good. He was particularly permissive.
I have to write a page up on him on Wikipedia.
Oh, good. Get around to it. And, thank you. Thank you. So he was Eliezer Waldenberg. What?
I always quickly look it up and hope you keep talking so I can act like I know it all.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Anyways, so he says as follows. Look at Aleph. Guys, listen, okay? He says, Hine ledati, let din tzarech boshesh, ki toivai hi lal bish divrei kedusha b'malva b'shim tzoim. Said, I'm not hesitating. It's disgusting. It's an abomination to dress up holy words in clothing of filth, or literally clothing of excrement, right? Which is an image from the Navi. Keila shereach shel znut no deif mehem. These clothes that the smell of promiscuity wafts from them. I'm not going to get into that machlokas. In Italy, the minhag was to go behind churches, listen to church music, and take the music back to shul. And the poskim defended it. So, is it mutter? I don't know it's mutter. There were poskim who said it was. That strikes me as a bit odd.
Look,
I get it. I love that everybody quotes that same Rashi in Chagiga Daf Tet Vav Amud Aleph. That's why Achav went off the derech. Because he listened to non-Jewish music, and he hid books of Greek philosophy in the middle of his Gemara. So just, yes, Acher. So just for fun, when I was in Gush, inside my Svarim, I had a little volume of the Dialogues of Plato. And guess what? I'm still not off the Derech. Okay, I mean, you can claim that I am. Maybe I am. Right? Maybe I am, but
Or do you think not as bad as Acher?
What?
You are, because you think non-Jewish music is mother.
I know. Rahmana Litzlan.
Yeah, wearing a pink shirt is awesome.
Rahmana Litzlan.
I agree.
We all start pulling stuff out of our crack.
Okay. Oh my god. Remember, this is recorded, okay? Anyways, guys. Okay. Fine. So then if you skip down, listen, okay? Guys, listen, okay? Listen. Guys, come on. Guys, new, yalla. Come on. So skip to Vav. This is Al-Achar Mikan, Allah Biyadi La'ayin Bam Gufan Shel Dvarim. Shavsever Krach Shel Romi. I started looking into what's written in this book called Krach Shel Romi. Right? Umamash Nishtomamti Al Hamar'eh. Right, what does that mean? What is nishtomamti ahamareh? I was nishtomamti, like I was shocked, appalled, right? Appalled to silence, right? I didn't know what to say of what I saw there. Libi lo amin lamasha einai karot. My eyes literally did not believe what they were reading. Right, or my heart didn't believe what my eyes were reading. Amnam hamishtamem divrei sefer sham huzesh ledato latir lashir piyutim tefilo b'shirei agavim. He thinks it's mutter. Aval, Ikar, do you know? Shall I say for Sham? Das Lashor Rebbate Yakneset, Gain Notzrim Sherem Yaknesim Bipulchanam. Right? This is what I'm quoted for you from Italy. Right? He's saying that you should use church music in Shul. Right?
You should or
could. That was what they did. Ukdei Latahir Sheret Zeh, right? To purify the Sherets. Right, meaning it says it's disgusting. Now you're proving. He said he proves it from the fact that in Arab countries they used Arab music for davening. He said if you know this Arab music, which much of it was romantic, they allowed them to sing it in Hebrew for tefillot with good words, yan shen yanim eno temo kdoshim, because now they're talking about holy things. And he's not worried that the person's going to be thinking about the romantic original song, right? Which I don't know if that's a good assumption. I feel like when people do like kedusha to It's a Small World after all, they just think about, right, people, like instead of saying kadosh, they're saying It's a Small World. Yeah, I don't know if it's a great idea. I'm saying
it's like the Mambo Beats.
It's
like the Mambo Beats.
I don't think any of them are not
dominant. What?
I said, imagine.
Anyways. Okay. V'chein haminhag v'chol Yisrael v'aravya v'chol abatei kneisiyot v'lo michu b'hem chachamim. He said, that's the minhag in all shuls, in Eretz Yisrael, in all Arab lands. Every shul, no one protests. Kol shekein yunim about the Knesset, no shim shem b'emet neguim muchnayim uvim avar ha'el v'yichudo. V'an lo yadin l'ashon latin shebehem minhagnim b'oto kol muchna. He said, so this Sefer Krach Shel Romi said, look, if romantic songs are mutter, even though everybody knows exactly what they meant and might be thinking about the original song during davening, he said, church music, right, is meant to be spiritual, and right, it is, right? I mean,
and
it's written in Latin, so you're not going to think about what it means because you have no idea what it means. Right? Because none of you know Latin.
Wait, what do
you
mean like
Arabic? Arabic.
Again, many posts can disagree with the Krach Shel Romi. I'm just telling you, we're just, okay. Not important. Right? So he says it's fine, okay? And then he says, Shavadim avach mutarim elanu ela adraba chova aleinu. Gersley, chova aleinu. The Krach Shel Romi said, not only is it mutter, it is an obligation. Oi! 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 There are post-kip who said radical things you don't like with. Oh no! I didn't say I liked it. I'm just saying.
Leftist tears.
Then the Tzitz Eliezer doesn't
my
like
it.
The Tzitz Eliezer doesn't like it either. And he says, V'nizda'azati l'shmo dorim ge'ele yotzim mipi balachu v'asham. I was shaken to hear this.
Shook.
What?
Shook.
Thou hast
shook.
It was
okay. Shevadai. Shevadai milvad shemutarim lanu. Sorry. Eichav shar lahatif amarim. ולומר שניגונים בשם הגנים הנרשים בבוחנם בתי כנסיות הם באמת ניגונים מוכנעים מביאים אהבה לאל ויחודו. How dare you say such horrible things that church music is something that brings you to love God, right? How dare you? He said, "Bizman sharamam v'kol gedolenu kavul anu she'emunatam u'pochanam emunah pochan shavu zara." He said, "That's idolatry, right? What are you telling me? She'em gruim bazei yoter mishmeilim. It's worse than Islam." We talk kedei dibor habalt hatshuvah batzmo maskei emunat shilush lahem. He even says this. He says, even though they're talking about the Trinity, we don't understand they're talking about the Trinity. It's a big deal. He said, "Ve'ech mitapech kochotam." How can you transform the power of that song? We have to learn their music, right? We have to, right? He basically says what Gersley did. Like he's nizdazati, he shook, shake and shock.
Oh, me?
Yes, you. That's not shaking. Come on. What you did before. It's what you did before.
It's a natural vova. It's a natural vova.
Right? You did the fire. You did the bit of Elkenu. And then he says, right, we're going to use this to beautify Shul. He says, lo yuman ki supar. He said, I don't believe what you were saying.
But I literally understand.
Right?
How does he say, not chatzav vuzar? Those songs are made.
Okay, again, that's literally the Sicilian's last line. Right? He says, lo yuman. Hey, listen.
Stop.
Grossly, stop. He said, lo yuman ki supar. That's the point. Fine. But then, the Sicilian's says something else. Because that works for what type of music? Christian. What about Islamic music? Right? So what does he do? So listen, he says, Vaharbe garua mize od kotev makom acher b'tshuvasham. Da'acharei achshara da'karka b'minugeo ma'ishmeli. Yidu magiel yudo v'kotev ezel shano. Lo gimon atzurim shumobad shem chamim gdolim chokrim tamir achar ha'emet. Mabi omech hagerotam v'chachmatam matzu she'en aleinu asham. B'yotinu machzim l'shmor torat elokinu b'yadeinu. He then goes on in a praise of Christianity. Right? The Sefer Ketav Yad Romi says, the Christians, they're wise, they're, you know, they're smart people. Od zoshemen yodim erech toratino kedoshav chachmal chachmei talmud va'anu heim mishulim l'shtein itiyot yonkod miguma achar me'olam lizlo al toratino minak tefilatino mitzad etzim ha'tefila va'avoda chalil chamim gdolim chachmei notrim elim yikrei tlodzud hi al roa seder nagautenu v'chol ma'avadinu v'frad v'vatei tefilatino v'chadomah. He said, he goes on, he says, the Christians are great. They understand the value of Torah. We're two. We both come from the same source. It's great. Okay? This is what he says. Okay? The Tzitzel Yerzer goes nuts. He says, Shumu Shamayim. Right? Gvalt. L'mikra mayafit kazel emunat enoshim chmeim l'furash yotzei ulokol busha. You're praising the faith of the Christians with no shame. He said, Mibi bal tshuva uleganot l'shem kach b'tzad et roa seyde nagud chom ha'odinu v'frad v'vatei tefilatenu v'sha'anach l'shem k'v'achol b'zeh v'alkein ba alinu atzarash grov v'shem atzlim alinu. He said, what? It's our fault they make fun of us? Right? He said, sorry, at the end of the line, this is what I ran through, and he said, right, they have better, right, attendance in shul, in their churches, right, it's more mesuda, right, and they make fun of us. He said, how can you praise Christianity and insult us? Right, well, what is this? Right, and then he skips down, and skip down, he says, Hashachach divrei Rashbi muva berashi, parashat vayishlach v'omer alachi v'yadua she'esav son of Yaakov. So don't you remember they hate us? Don't you remember they hate us? Halacha yibiyadua she'itzel sonei et Yaakov. V'alo even makir tizak al kach. Asher sherer ukash meot bishanim meunyanim asitniyut. Alfei revot mnei Yisrael shumakam yichida itad ve'kutam be'munatam v'toratam. He said, don't you remember all the people who've died because their only sin was that they believed in Judaism and were killed by Christians? V'zrat be'i mekdashinu atalmudim asher ayesh shokel v'ayesh sofer shuchal lahashmienu lefrat lanu. Do you forget what happened to us? Do you forget Jewish history? He said that, right, when the Sicilian Ezra said, oh yeah, sorry, the Krach Shalom, he says, oh yeah, they make fun of the way we run our shul. He said, that's making fun, right? That's mockery. He said, do you remember what they've done to us? What, you're defending them? How dare you? You think the reason they don't like us is because we say bad things about them? What do you mean their scholars always look for truth? That's true. Are you allowed to praise them? He goes on. He rants. Right? He rants at him. And he said, what planet are you on?
Is
What is Yotzei from the Tzitzil Yetzer? What is right? What is the Tzitzil Yetzer doing? This last part of the Tzitzil Yetzer. What is he doing with Esav Shonei at Yaakov?
Driving.
Right. So first of all, he's taking it as a reality, but history forever, and he's taking it as halacha. Right. What is he saying? He said, "You're not allowed to defend them. You're not allowed to value what they have because Esav Shonei at Yaakov. They always hate you, so you have to hate them back." Right? Essentially what he says. Right? Or at least don't like him very much.
What is he specifically talking about? Christians who actually like crusaded us and all those
things? No! He's talking about the music nowadays. Right?
Oh.
Remember he's saying, right, this is in the his service of him answering a shiloh, are you allowed to use church music? Right? And his answer is no. But you know why? Right? I mean, Toch Kedei, the Krak Shoromi said, you know, there's value in the Christian world, and that set him off. Right, the Tzitzil Yetzer says, no, there isn't. No, there absolutely is not. Right? And he derives halacha from this. Right?
I have a question.
Is it on topic, please?
Yes, it is on topic.
Yes.
But I would say music nowadays is nothing, would be totally not in line with what we call our church.
He's talking about church music. I'm not talking about other music. He's talking about church music.
Okay, fine. I thought, are you going to bring that for... Never mind.
He's talking about church music, right? My topic is not music, right? I'm pointing out that in the middle of his tshuva on church music, right, after he gets past the theological thing, he says, don't try to defend it. Don't tell me it's spiritual. Don't tell me there's value. Don't you dare. Because Esav Shonei at Yaakov. And I'll prove it to you. Their whole history is one of hatred. They hate you. Their music is hatred. Their religion is hatred. And it comes from Esav Shonei at Yaakov. Ramoshe Feinstein, in number 10, was asked, are you allowed to take right, the government to court? Right, essentially, right? Right, are you allowed to? Right, so he said, he said, what was it? So you look at the question, you continue. He says, he named Atzadi and Mechtav, Haramav, Raitish, Ikabaz and Nidon Gadol, Shav Shavale, Pashu, Varshish, Ladel, Etam, Shalash, and Mechu, Bate Sefer, Sheudim. So it's okay. So what was it? The case was, can you sue in England, can you sue the government? Basically to get certain support for the schools. Right, like discrimination stuff. Can you sue the government for discrimination?
What would the potential issue be?
So what would the issue be?
Ava, like I'm
a... Yeah, it's exactly what it would be. Right? So what does he say? Right, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, can I claim discrimination and then bring them to court, right, a discrimination suit to get support for the schools, okay, right? Can I force basically the government? And what does he say? So go down about halfway. He says, "Don't do it. It'll cause hatred." It'll cause hatred. Why? Skip a line. No, just keep going, actually. He says, Ki tzarich leida, she'sinal Yisrael b'chol ha'umot higdola gam mamlichut sh'nagin b'toba. Because all non-Jews hate us, even in countries where they like us. Right, where they're doing good to us. They hate us. U'kvar marti al lashon j'vi rashi b'fir shechumash, al kra v'yishakeyu, omar shim b'yuchai, halachi v'yadua she'esav sonei l'yakov d'mashayich zel halacha. So what is this halacha that Esav hates Yaakov? Dehu k'mosh halacha lo mishtaneit. It's halacha in the sense, it will never change. Period. End of story. Right?
So
what does Ramosha say? Right? So Ramosha says, don't try it. Don't push your luck. Ever, anywhere, at any time, because halacha hi biyadua she'isav sonei et Yaakov. Right? The last source, number 11. Rav Henkin was the posek in America before Rav Moshe. Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. And he had the same discomfort I do with Chuba, like what I just saw. Major post-game. Emotions, these are major post-game, right? But as we saw, this notion of halacha biyadua might be a Gerson mistake, right? It's not clear what it means, right? And pshat in the psukim is much more complicated than that. Right? And reality, right? Like, is that really what the Torah wants from us? That paranoia, that everyone who seems to be nice is evil. Right? Is that really the lesson? Because you will hear people who will say the lesson of last week is Esav shoneh Yaakov, and even America, they hate us. And other people will get up, b'tzedek, and say, what are you talking about? There are people who hate us, right? But as soon as it happened, there were policemen who ran in, endangered their lives, got hurt, right?
No more killed.
Right.
None.
I don't think they were in the end. I think they were wounded. Right. But they ran in to protect Jews, right? The government is you know, treating as a hate crime, right? Are we supposed to learn from this lesson that everybody hates us? Is that really the lesson you want to get out of it? That everybody hates us? Right? Is that what it is? Halacha hi biyadua, that it's all fake? No hakaras hatov for the good that's happening? None? Right? Is that the attitude that you have? Right? Because of a Rashi in Vayishlach, that's your attitude for the rest of time to all non-Jews. Right? You're going to make 10 expansions. It's halacha hi biyadua, and it's everybody. It's not just Esav, it's every non-Jew. It's a shorthand to tell us that, oh, it's all fake. Right? And this is why I don't like this sugya. Right? Because that's what you find in posig after posig, right? But I was very happy, and that was when I decided I could give this year when I started with Henkin, because he at least offers another perspective, right?
Don't get too close to him.
Right? No. 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 He says in 11. He says, Be'arnu kamapamim. Be'arnu. He said, we've explained. Shafiluk shrel begola yicholim lichyot bracha latzman begolam bechal. He said, I've explained to you many times. As a Jew in Galut, you can be a bracha to the world. Vizeu alidei savlanut v'tzina'a v'adochet b'yakov. Have patience. B'tzanua. He says, "Imtayene teiv timtza shirovat zarei again." And we should so much of our problems have because we haven't kept to this. V'nim v'ramez anim v'shna benzoma ramez v'chachamel min mekal adam shemekal m'bayiskal tiyad chasi chali is a gibor kovid yitzro is a shiras mech v'chalko chuban mechaber ebrio. Said, "Am Yisrael mechunan b'kisharon gadol yoter mikol haomar." We have a certain talent. Said, "We have a tendency. We're smart." We become rich, powerful. You can't deny that. So, but this brings with it jealousy. And often jealousy leads to hatred. And therefore you always have to be careful that your strengths don't become your weaknesses. Right now, we know that this is somewhat true. Right, sometimes anti-Semitism is because jealousy of success. Right, he says, okay, fine. Etc. Okay. Skip down. So he goes through how this is, but then he says something in paragraph 4. Right. He said, look, I'm not saying it's all our fault, right? I'm not blaming the victim, right? He said, it is true that some of what we do creates hatred. But he said, there is one thing we can do, right? And that's what I want to focus on. He says, he said, at some level, hatred is caused because, what do?
We isolate.
No, mifazim.
We embarrass them.
No, what's mifazim?
Like, we get embarrassed?
Yeah, we insult. No, we insult them. We disgrace them. Right? Meaning, when people say that we look down on them, sometimes...
It's true.
It's true. He said, not everybody does it, but one person done it. One person goes out screaming, right? And says, they're all evil, right? And that's the person who gets on the news. Right? That's the person who gets out there. His vakatuv, tsoek, lo titaev edomi. The Torah told you, don't hate them. Right? This is not new. This is not modernish. This is not liberal. This is a pasuk in the Torah. Right? Lo titaev adomi. Lo titaev perusho. Lo tivazeoto. Do not disgrace him. Va'af shel charanirek tisone. Charlo v'chol la'oev. But here's Areza. He said, look, sometimes, not always, when he looks like an enemy, you can make him someone who loves you. Remember the Netziv? Right? The Netziv said, look, I'm not denying that they often hate us, but there are periods of genuine love, right? Of mutual respect. And how is mutual respect generated? Mutually, right? That should be tautological. Yaakov. He said, take a different lesson from the story of Esav Sone as Yaakov. I'm almost done. No. Not saying you have to stay, but I'm saying I'm almost done. Okay? Shachna'a, garma, ahavat. You know, I planned for an hour, and we're only 55 minutes. We just started late. Shachna'a, garma, ahavat, agarasina. V'avon plili. Right? What's avon plili?
It's a great...
It's criminal. Avon plili is it's criminal. Right? That's, I mean, that's the literal translation. Avon plili. It's criminal. Mitzar otama matifim hapat pitanim. Shedorshim tamid. Those people, what is pat pitan? People who don't shut up, right? Patpitan, right? Right? It's people who have patpitan, right? The people who give drushes all the time. Halacha hu she'isav sone liyakov, right? Vasina olamit. He said those people go around and say it's always true. They always hate us. They always hate us. They always hate us. He says zeneged ha'emet. V'neged Chazal v'hamikra. He said that's wrong on three counts. It's factually wrong, it's against the Gemara, and it's against the Torah. Right? One, two, three.
Four.
She'esav gufal rasha tamid v'sinato paskali de'anagat matem. And he said, first of all, Esav himself in the Torah wasn't always a rasha, and there were times when he liked us. Right? One. Right? Taking the other down the Midrash. Kamo Esav rishon kain him gam kain dorotav. Right, like the Netziv. He said the key is Ben Zoma, who is respected, the one who respects others. It means other nations too. Right, if you love them, you will get some reciprocation. Not everybody. But if you go around and tell them all, right? He said, right. This is one directional. Right? It's not true that everyone will love you. That's not true. But I promise you that if you go to someone, right, if you are the police officers who risked their lives and almost got killed and said, you don't really care. You really hate me deep down, right? You're doing this for PR. You have yourself an enemy the next time it happens. Right? Because that officer is not going to put his life on the line unless he's a real tzaddik, right? Next time, if you told him, no thanks that you tried to save my life because you didn't mean it because you hate me deep down. Right? It's not happening. Right? He said, V'zeu ma'isi b'chol yom. V'yichu tzrichim b'nei Yisrael yizeher shlo yom min ha'pchanim. Right? Revolutionaryism. Whatever. He said, then he goes into a bit of politics. Don't be a revolutionary. Okay. And then he goes into Russia, right? Don't be a Bolshevik. Okay, fine. Right? That's not the point. Right, that's not the point. That's the end of his piece. What?
He lived in the early 1900s.
No, he lived in like... I mean, he also, but he was mostly an American like 1940s. But he's living at that time.
Wait, when did the Moshe Feinstein
was posted? Hankin was the posted before Moshe.
I know.
Moshe became the posted really in the 50s, 60s. After
the 50s,
Hankin. I was there. 56, no. Hankin was still the posted then. Okay. But what does Hankin say? Right? And as I said, right, this is already Yotzei in the Psukim. Remember, right, this is Yotzei in the Psukim. Right, you look at the Psukim, even within the Esav Yaakov relationship, it's not clear what it means. Right, how much he really hated him always. And Kal v'chomer l'dorot, right, if it's a Gerusa mistake. And you combine the fact that the Torah says, lo titaev adomi. And you add to that the reality that, yes, there was a guy who hated Jews and went and killed 11 people. But simultaneously, there were non-Jewish police officers who almost got killed trying to protect Jews.
And more of them.
What?
And more of them.
Yes. And more than that one person.
And right afterwards.
And right afterwards. And then we are trying it as a hate crime. Right? So there are two ways you could go. You could take the most radical read of Rashi, right, Lido wrote, and say, we hate them forever because they hate us forever. You could do that. Right? But what I think Rav Henkin points out is that is just as honest. Right? It's just as honest. Yes, there's always going to be anti-Semitism. That's just... Yes, there is. Okay? Historically, there is. It's always happened. But if that becomes your worldview, the lens through which you see the world, and therefore you don't learn how to value the people who actually like you and actually put their lives on the line for you and actually care about you, you're going to make even more enemies than you already have. You're always going to have some enemies. But why do we do this to ourselves? Right? And I think what Henkin points out is that if you realize that in the original drasha, it's not clear it ever said it, and as the Nitziv notes, even if it is halacha b'yadua shesin of Zonu Yaakov, the scene itself, right, is one where maybe there are times of mutual understanding and love. Right? Rav Henkin says it's just not responsible to write off the people who don't fit your model because it's just not true. So I thought, since it's the Parsha, right, and it's a good... I think it's important to realize that, right? I Reb Roy talked about people who think they're not Roy Lahachria, right? Sure, I'm not Roy Lahachria between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Henkin and the Tzitz Eliezer, but I'm going to be Machria right now, okay? Right? Rav Henkin is right.
Whoa.
Right? Rav Henkin is right. It is irresponsible for us to not recognize, right, that amidst the tragedy and amidst the hatred that does exist and continues to exist, there is goodness in this world. And we need to recognize it. Because our only chance at protecting ourselves against the people who really do hate us is to recognize and value the allies that we do have in this fight. If we pretend we have no allies because we ascribe to them negative intentions, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And therefore, Henkin says, right, there is no, right, we have to be careful. And, you know, one of the big debates is going on in America right now is to, you know, reassess our relationship and exactly how we feel and exactly what we do. Right? Moshe, Mechilas Kvodo. Right? How can you not have some Hakarasa Tov for the way this was dealt with? How can you not recognize that it is not true that every person always hates you, right? How can you say that, yes, there are people, that even the ones who hate us, sorry, even the ones who love us really hate us deep down, right? Maybe there's more anti-Semitism. Yes, there has been a lot of anti-Semitic attacks in the last few years, right? It's scary. But if you view it, right, if you simplify the world into this, a quote from Rashi, Halach v'idur shesonet Esav shonet Yaakov, right, then you run the legitimate risk of not showing Hakaras HaTov for what we do have. You don't recognize the good people who are making it not as bad as it could be. Right? America is not as bad as other countries. Right? It just isn't. Right? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if you tell people we don't want your help because we don't believe you're really helping. Right? We need to be able to recognize, yes, there's evil in this world. Yes, there are people who hate us. But there are also people who love us. And there are also people who care. And we should have respect for them. And we should care them. And we should appreciate, be able to appreciate the negative with the positive and have a more complex worldview. And that's really what Henkin calls here. And Rav Henkin is, you know, I sort of share Rav Henkin's anger, right, with people who just throw around Esav Shonei as Yaakov nonchalantly as if there's no good non-Jew anywhere on the face of planet Earth. It's not true. Right? And even if that's not what they mean, when you throw around rhetoric, rhetoric has an effect on how you feel and how you think and how you act. Okay? So I thought a good topic to talk about was this, because it forces us to, yes, think about what's going on, but it also forces us to recognize that amidst the bad, there is good, and to not be afraid to admit that. Right? To not be afraid to admit that there is good amongst the bad. There are people who don't hate us. Right? The Esav Shonei Yaakov is not this fatalistic view that applies to everybody. Right? The world may be scary, it may be complicated, but complicated is different than black and white. Okay? Like I said, I may not be Roy Lahachriya in Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, but in this one, I find myself ligamre in the camp of Rav Henkin. Right? Not so much, he does do a little bit of blaming the victim, which I don't love so much. Right? Right? But at least in his sense that we shouldn't exacerbate the problem by denying that there are people who want to help us. Right? There are people who care about us. And that, you know, we shouldn't just reduce our experience to one-liners. It's easy to do that. But as Amital used to say all the time, right? Ein patentim and ein sismaot. Right? There are no shortcuts in life. Patent is a shortcut. And ein sismaot, right? No slogans. Right? You can't... Right? Yes. Well, that was his slogan, right? His slogan was no slogans. Right? His slogan was don't reduce your life. Right? This is a lesson in everything in life. Be so careful of reducing your life to one line slogans.
The only thing right? that you've ever told me from, what's it?
Rav Amital or slogans?
Yeah.
Yes. No, they're aphorisms. There's a difference between a slogan and aphorism.
Sure.
But,
one book with A, one book with A.
But, you know, I just think that that's as a lesson in general in life and definitely in complicated terms, right? It's to recognize that we can't reduce our life to one line from a Rashi that may be a misquote from a Midrash that has then been misquoted and blown up, right? And use it to shape everything we do. That's not how life works. That's not how Torah works, right? Life and Torah are complicated, right? And the only way we can walk away from a tragedy and grow from it is if we're willing to recognize the complexity, recognize the danger and the good, and work with both. So, you know, as we move forward from the tragedy, I think that's a good perspective to have to try to grow constructively. Yes, we've got to grapple with the issues. Yes, we've got to think about it. But the challenge is to think about it in all its aspects, from all angles, and not try to reduce it to a worldview that simplifies everything but doesn't fit the facts on the ground, okay?